In comes Harry Kewell, yes! At last, a lifeline for Liverpool.
He's broken to Viduka. Can he punish them? He can! Leeds are back in it.
Oh, and Johnston's through. This time he surely is going to make it. 3-0.
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. Aussies Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to the Aussies Abroad program here on FNR Football Nation Radio. We have got a big show tonight. Talking to a couple of guys with very interesting careers. Richie Cardozo, who's just recently finished up with a spell in Thailand at Konkan. And then we're going to have a chat with Blake Callis, who leads an interesting life. He's been playing in Cyprus. He's played in Greece before that. And now he's signed with the Sunshine Coast Fire in the Queensland NPL competition. We'll have a chat to him as well. But first, as we do every week, we catch up with the latest news of Australians overseas with our man Damien Davies. Damien, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Chris. How are you?
I'm great, mate. I'm great. I'm always great at this time of the night when we're talking Aussies abroad. And I tell you what, the number of Aussies in European competitions continue to dwindle.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not too many of our Aussies that are still going, the exception being Tom Rogic at Celtic. We know he's just coming back from injury. He was used off the bench for Celtic this week. Unfortunately, they're now knocked out at the expense of Zenit St. Petersburg. So I think that is all of our Aussies now out of Europe, unfortunately. So we need to rely back on club football. Some may say that's not necessarily a bad thing coming up to the World Cup, though.
What about, let's turn our attentions to the UK, a big win for Brighton this week.
Yeah, Matt Ryan is certainly getting a lot of plaudits, and rightfully so, with their 4-1 win over Swansea over the weekend, as you mentioned. He was the highlight of EPL. Unfortunately, Aidan O'Neill wasn't able to get back on the bench for Burnley, and Aaron Moy's out with his slight knee injury as well, as we know. But quite a lot going on in the championship level. Bailey Wright, who we've talked about quite a few times, has been flicking back and forth between centre-back and right-back roles. Not a great week for Bristol City, his club team. They had a draw and a loss this week. Bailey played 90 minutes in both, which is great, but not fantastic for their promotion prospects. On the flip side of that, Jackson Irvine got another 90 minutes and got an assist in a 1-0 win this week for Hull City. So that gives them a little bit of breathing space from the relegation zone. Mas Luongo made his 100th appearance for QPR and celebrated by scoring. QPR got touched up a little. I think it was 5-2 in the end, unfortunately. But a very interesting stat. I saw the leading tackle makers in the tackles made in the championship level. And number one is Mas Luongo. And number six is James Meredith. So two Aussie boys getting in amongst it, which is great to see. Meredith got another 90 minutes this week. On the flip side of that, Millwall did win with Kale coming off the bench. Jedinak also came off the bench for Villa, who have also strung together quite a few results over the last few weeks and are climbing up the table. If we want to drop down to some of the lower leagues, there was probably two I wanted to call out. One of my favourites, Cam Burgess, returned to Scunthorpe. They got a 1-1 draw, which is a good thing. Young keeper to keep our eye on, though, 18-year-old guy called Ashley Maynard Brewer was on the bench for Charlton Seniors this week. So I understand his dad was Rod Maynard. For anybody that's got an AFL background or following, he used to play for the Adelaide Crows probably about 20 years ago, to be honest.
Yep.
Interesting to see the way these guys filter through. And on our Harry Kay watch, Kewell unfortunately went down 2-0 this week, ending a pretty solid run that Crawley Town have had over the last few weeks, but still sort of definitely in the top half of the table, which is great to see. So before we get to Europe, we'll quickly talk about Scotland, if that's all right.
Our favourite place.
Yep. So a lot of Aussie boys starting this week. Rogic started, as we said, he's on his way back, so good to see. Ryan Edwards started for Partick, and Jamie McLaren got, I think it was his first start for Hibs as well. Unfortunately, didn't get on the score sheet, but apparently made himself quite dangerous, which is good to see, given that he's only sort of 3 or 4 weeks into his transfer, so good to see him getting a bit of a run. And then at the lower leagues, Tom Beadling, who some people may remember as a young under-23 player at Sunderland. He's up in Scotland on loan at Dunfermline. He started at centre midfield this week. Great to see, got 90 minutes. And another young Aussie at Queen of the South, Glendon Dykes, also got a full 90 minutes. The cream of the crop in terms of talking points for the week, though, before we switch from the UK to Europe, is a guy called James Demetriou, who we've talked about a couple of times on this show. He's at Barrytown in Wales. Came off the bench this week in the first half, but within 28 minutes had scored his hat-trick for the day.
I love him.
Phenomenal little effort by that. James Demetriou, and Barrytown are now top of the table in the top league in Wales as well.
My new favourite Welsh team.
Why not? There's not too many Aussies in Wales.
Mainly because I can pronounce it. Normally their towns are 27 letters long and impossible to pronounce. But Barrytown it is. Great to see.
That's not too hard, is it? We'll go with that one.
We will. Hey, a few Aussies in Germany this weekend. What have they been up to?
Yeah, Brandon Brello played midweek last week for Kaiserslautern and he scored again, so he'd scored back-to-back games. He did not play on the weekend. I'm not sure if that was injury or suspension or what was going on, but didn't play this weekend. On the flip side, a few big ones. Robbie Cruz got another 90 minutes for Bochum in the second tier, but the big one was Matt Leckie. Not only did he play 90 minutes, he happened to return to the starting lineup against Bayern Munich, and they did get a draw against Bayern, so that's a massive feather in his cap to get a run in that game, right?
Absolutely.
And a couple of other guys in France that we've been watching, Alex Gersbach got another 90 minutes, so his loan move is certainly proving very fruitful. He's probably strung together four or five games in the last month, so good to see him on the pitch. Mustafa Amini, interesting one. He's come back from the resumption in Denmark at AGF, and he's lost his place in the starting 11. I know they pulled a couple of other guys in during the transfer window, so looks like Mustafa's dropped down the list a little bit, which is a bit of a concern. A couple of other guys in Holland that we try to keep tabs on. Harry Ashcroft, who's the former Central Coast Mariner, made his starting debut in Malta for Balazan. Brad Jones didn't have a great week, actually. He lost 3-1 at home this week to PSV. Not great in terms of the timing of that, but no. We know Brad Jones has certainly got a fair few runs on the board at the moment. And Aziz Bajic, we haven't talked about for a few weeks. He gets 90 every week still, which is kind of to be expected given the form he's been in for the last 6 months. But his side, Bursaspor, copped a 5-0 loss to Galatasaray, unfortunately.
Wow. Big loss for Aziz, no doubt. Any more news from Europe, or are we heading to the J-League that resumed this week?
Yeah, and let's move on, mate. So J-League resumed. So we talked about J-League and K-League in Korea resuming imminently. So J-League was the one that kicked off this week. Great news for Mitch Langerak. He started for Nagoya Grampus. They had a 3-2 win. He made some pretty decent saves in that game as well. But, you know, always uncertainty when you transfer to a new club. Are you going to be the starting keeper when the season starts? He was. Great news for him. Ben Halloran did the same thing, right? He moved from Germany to the J-League and he started at Viveron this week, so congrats to him. Two of our other boys over there, Giganic, who's now at the Ange Postecoglou run club, started and had a draw in Japan this week, and Mitch Duke, who I think we spoke to a couple of weeks ago from memory, came off the bench at Shimizu S-Pulse in the J-League this week, so good to see the resumption and half a dozen Aussies up and about in Japan, which is good to see.
Plenty of Australians over there. Right, is what's anything else going on in Asia, or are we heading off the pitch?
Well, we can use that as a segue into the off-the-pitch segment. Diego Ferrara, who is an ex-Melbourne Victory guy, spent some time in Indonesia, had a failed attempt at India recently, and then just got transferred to Japan. So he's now in the second tier in Japan. Hopefully he'll make his debut in the next week or two. He's at a club called Tokhaiji, I think it is. I'm sure I've pronounced that incorrectly. And someone will pull me on that, but anyway. Another couple of transfers to be mindful of, a guy called Patrick Weir, who's a young Aussie who's been in Germany for a couple of years, came back to Australia with work permit problems, has got himself over to Northern Ireland now, at Ballymun United, so he's been on the bench a couple of times, hopefully he'll debut. And Nick Ward, who I didn't realise this, he's now 32. So he's ex-Melbourne Victory and ex-Perth, and he's ex about 100 clubs. I think he's been around for quite some time. So he's gone from Victory to, we'll call it the wilderness, to now India. So he's at Naroka, which is a club where Aaron Williams is at. So good to see him up and getting a, I'd like to think, a swan song in his career, I guess.
Getting a kick somewhere.
And then a couple of other off-the-pitch things, just a quick injury update. I just mentioned Aaron Moy. He's got a cut knee. He's out for a couple of weeks. Ryan McGowan's got a bit of a knee issue, had a bit of a scrape on his knee. I don't know if that's weeks or months, but that may impact his availability for the qualifier, for the friendlies coming up. Rukavica has a hamstring injury. Apparently that's only fairly minor, and Sainsbury continues to be nursed with his groin injury. He had surgery a couple of months ago, but he's yet to debut for his club in Switzerland. And lastly, off the field, one of the guys I have mentioned on here quite a few times, Matthew Spirinovic, came out yesterday that his club is doing pre-season in Barcelona. He was not part of that. It seems as though their quota, foreign quota, is three, and they've filled it with three strikers, so looks like he's been released. I'm not sure why he needs to be released. I thought his contract ran out at the end of December anyway. Apparently he's down in Australia negotiating with a couple of A-League clubs, so I haven't heard any news today, but it seems to be fast moving. He may be back in the A-League before we know it. So, interesting one.
Well, he needs to do something very, very quickly. We keep saying it and nothing happens. Come on, man. Sign with someone.
Yeah, get into it. I'd love to put him back on the radar every week, but that'd get a bit boring if I do that. So
it would. All right. Now our favourite segment, save a seat. Who are we saving a seat for Russia 2018 this week?
This one is a controversial one. I don't know, controversial in that I don't know that he's even in the top 30 at the moment, but he's got some pretty good reasons to be, right? So I'm talking about Ryan Edwards, who's 24-year-old these days, playing central midfield for Partick Thistle in the Scottish Premier League. He's got a great Australian pedigree. He's captained the under-20s. He's made basically 20 appearances for the under-23s. He was called up for the full Socceroos, I think it was about March or something last year. So he's there or thereabouts. He's now been at Partick for three seasons after he had his little loan spell at Perth Glory who did he come across from? Reading, that's right, when his dad was running around as manager as Perth those years ago. But he's 70 appearances for Partick, 22 this season, 3 goals. Something a little bit different, right? Young, upcoming, playing in a reasonably solid league. Say what you want about the Scottish League, it's not that bad, apart from obviously being monopolised by one or two. Ryan Edwards, so that's probably an interesting one. I think he's probably struggling to get a seat, but he's doing the right things, and maybe he needs to be a slightly more high-profile club to be getting a Guernsey. Plus, he's in a highly competitive spot on the field as well, right? So.
Plucked from obscurity there, Damien, but we'll keep our eye on him. I'm not sure he's going to get a seat on the plane, but we'll keep tabs on him. Hey, mate, thanks for being a part of the Aussies Abroad program once again. Another comprehensive wrap, and we'll see you next week.
All good, mate. Look forward to it. See ya.
Damien Davies there, our Aussies Abroad expert. Stick around. Coming up after the break, Richie Cardozo right here on Aussies Abroad on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Here comes Harry Kewell, yes! At last, a lifeline for Liverpool!
He's broken to Viduka. Can he punish them? He can! Leads are back in it!
Oh, and Johnston's through! This time he surely is going to make it. 3-0!
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. Aussies Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to FNR Football Nation Radio, and this is the Aussies Abroad Hour with your host, Chris Appleford. Got a very special guest on the line right now. He's played for Sydney Olympic, LASK in Austria, Sydney United, Naxar in Malta, FC Alashkert in Armenia, and he's most recently played for Konkan in Thailand. He's played for a host of other clubs as well. I'm talking about Richie Cardozo. Richie, welcome to the program.
Hey, mate. Thanks for having me.
Hey, mate. Thanks for being here. You've had a terrific career. You've played professionally in Australia, played professionally overseas. Of course, it's not over yet. There's still a few years in your legs at the moment. But as you look back on your career as it stands at the moment, is there a real feeling of satisfaction?
to be quite blunt, from a personal point of view, there's always going to be that sense of, could I have done more, or could I have done better, or reached some higher levels. So to be honest, complete satisfaction, probably not. But, I've obviously got to be proud of some of the things that I've achieved. And, football, I guess, one of those things that, it does give you a lot in other aspects as well, like, obviously friendships and travel and all those things off the park. But, I guess it's kind of a, either the glass half full or half empty kind of scenario for me, to be honest.
How tough has it been for you as a professional footballer to maintain a career as a professional footballer? You've sort of mixed spells in Europe and Southeast Asia with playing in the old National Soccer League and then NPL competitions in Victoria and New South Wales. How tough has it been to maintain a professional career?
It's been very tough. It's one of those things that... people who perhaps aren't involved in the game don't see all the other aspects aside from just ability that have such an influence on a player's career. For example, playing in Europe, if you don't have a European passport, it makes it that much harder. Similar sort of thing with Asia. Not so much with the passport, but there are other aspects of the cultural differences and the mentality and some of the things you have to deal with there. And then back home, it's just one of those things where unfortunately the timing of my career in particular came at the crossroads of the NFL and the A-League, and your opportunities and things like that were so limited, especially for a younger guy. There were times that you found yourself, for lack of a better word, jobless and trying to find a way to make ends meet and continue that career. And, unfortunately, we lost a lot of talent for those reasons. And some players just, ventured off into other avenues, other professions. Some sort of kept that part-time football and work. And then there are, some like me that just sort of refused to stop, I guess.
I want to get onto that in just a few moments and talk about that sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, but that sort of bridging era between the old NSL and the A-League. But first, can you sort of, look back on your career so far, and have you got any highlights that you just look back on and really hang your hat on and say, yes, that was just a terrific moment in my career?
Well, there's been a few. I mean, there are some that probably stick out more than others. Representing Australia at the Under-17s World Cup, that's always going to be memorable. I was top goal scorers at the qualifiers. Debuting in the NFL, debuting my first professional match in Europe. Winning top goal scorer in the NPL in New South Wales and in Victoria. I won a Media Player of the Year in Victoria, a couple of championships here and there. So there's obviously a lot of positives as well. It's hard to sort of pick one out, I guess. I don't think many players could, unless it's obviously something like a World Cup win or something like that. But there's always like little targets I try and strive for, achieve for yearly, basically, and kind of try and hold them as a priority and as a good momentum for that season, I guess.
There's a lot of things to hang your hat on there, no doubt about that, Richie. What about any career regrets? Anything you look back at and go, yeah, I probably should have done things differently there?
Definitely. there's probably just as many as the positive side. there are times when you perhaps listen to the wrong people. I think that's a big one, especially as a younger player, and you don't know at the time whether you're doing the right thing or you're not, and it's one of those things that hindsight shows you what the whole situation was really about. But just basically, mainly just decisions, I guess. There was nothing on the park or anything like that that sort of I regret. I mean, I've always gone out to play my best and do my best, but most of the regrets have probably been from decisions that I've had to make Whether they're influenced by others or not, I have to sort of bear the responsibility for those. But there's definitely certain points in my career that things probably could have gone different roads, different ways.
Well, let's talk about you as a junior player. You played in the Australian under-16 and under-17 teams. You were at the New South Wales Institute of Sport as a scholarship holder. Like you mentioned, you were the top goal scorer in the under-17 World Cup qualifiers. You played in that World Cup. At that time, as a 17-year-old, did you sort of think to yourself, I've literally got the world ahead of me. The world is my oyster.
100%. 100%. And, I think a lot of young players, do see that, and they only see the glitz and the glamour and all the potential that lies ahead of you, especially when you've achieved a few of those things. You don't sort of see all the outside or all the behind-the-scenes things that a lot of players have to deal with and go through, and you don't really grasp the environment that you're in until you're either in it or until it's too late. Very rarely will a young player know exactly what it's all about, and being young and having people tell you is never the same as experiencing it yourself.
So,
I definitely did think a few of those things when I was a lot younger. And I guess if I had my time again, I can't say that I would have thought any differently. Everything through my junior ranks, up until about that 17-18-year-old period, it all came so naturally and, for lack of a better word, so easily that you kind of fall into that trap of, it's just going to continue that way.
You also made your NSL debut as a 17-year-old for Sydney Olympic. There were so many fantastic players came out of the old NSL system, including that, so-called golden generation. Do you feel as though the NSL was just a great environment to develop young players?
I think so. And it's not just the NSL. I think, with all due respect, the youth league was a lot stronger. I think kids were training and the youth were training in full-time environments from probably a little bit younger. And because there were more teams, more players had the opportunity to play. And the best way to improve, in my opinion, is to obviously, train full-time, train with a high standard and a high caliber of player, but also to get minutes. And there were more teams and bigger squads, and there was that possibility for younger players to play, and even older players. When the NSL finished and the A-League started, I think we went from either 14 or 16 teams into 8, from squads of 25 or 30 to squads of 20. And, it wasn't just the young guys that missed out. There's so many quality players that had so much senior experience that just couldn't get a gig. And, I think that more recently, people have started to notice the actual quality the NSL had. I don't think it was shown enough respect earlier on.
The transition from the NSL to the A-League, do you think it came at a bad time for you personally in your development?
Oh, for sure, definitely. Like I just mentioned, the as a young player, you want to have that continuity of professional football and that level and that consistency. And with the collapse of the NSL the implementation of the A-League, I don't think it was a bad thing. I just think it was gone about the wrong way. And it did stunt a lot of careers and even ended a lot of careers. Not just myself, but there were so many players that missed out or didn't get the opportunities that they definitely deserved. And, it's hard not knowing or not being on the inside of how all these decisions were made to really understand why they were made. But, from a footballer's point of view and from a fan's point of view, I think they got it wrong.
What would you have done? Do you think there needed to be more teams? Do you think there needed to be quotas for young players that had to play, or youth leagues in that early, in those early days?
Look, I don't think there should have been a quota of youth players that had to play. I think that, you know, I'm a firm believer if you're good enough, it doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 36 yeah. or 37 or whatever. It doesn't matter. I think if you're producing and you're consistent, that you deserve a go. So whether it was a youth quota, I don't think that that would have been the right move. I think definitely there should have been some more teams. You know, eight was never enough. And then even now, I think, you know, there needs to be some sort of expansion sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And if it's not going to be an expansion, it has to be a second division, a fully professional second division for players to be in that full-time environment. So at that point, if they wanted, for my opinion, if they were going to start off with such little teams, there had to be a second division in place. Otherwise, yeah, I think there should have been more teams and definitely a youth league straight away, because, you know, a lot of players in that generation that would have been in that youth league system just got lost and had nowhere to go, nowhere to play, and just, like I mentioned before, took other avenues, because at the end of the day, everyone's got bills, you know, everyone's got career choices and life choices to make, and some had to make them harder than others.
Hey, no matter where you've played, you've scored loads of goals. You sort of mentioned earlier that you were leading goal scorer on numerous occasions for various teams in various competitions. You've won media awards, you've won championships. How frustrating is it for you that you never got that chance in the A-League?
Oh, very, very, to be quite honest with you.
Yep.
I'm not saying that I'm any more special than anybody else or anything like that. But I think that, I perhaps have, proved or at least achieved enough to have been given that opportunity at one point or another in my career. You know, it's not like it was a one-off good season I had. I think there were quite a few in there, whether they were local and abroad, to perhaps at least have been given that opportunity. And then after that, I guess, whether I took it or whether I did well or not, that remains to be seen, I guess. But, I think that, I do believe I deserved one at some point. But I guess not everyone holds the same opinion. And, of course, I understand that, I like to play as a number 10 or even as a number 9. And a lot of the teams here prefer to go for overseas-based players, which is fair enough. You know, I think most leagues in the world do that. I think the more frustrating part is when people speak about Australia not producing or not having number 9s or number 10s when, we were always around. We were just not always given that opportunity.
Yeah, good point, good point. Hey, of all the clubs you've played for, the one that really sort of sticks out for me as a fascinating career choice is playing for FC Alashkert in Armenia. How did that all come about?
Well, it's actually a funny story. I never actually turned out for an official match. So basically, I was playing in Malta, which was another interesting career move, to be honest with you. And it got to a point where a few things, more so off the field weren't perhaps going as smoothly as what you'd want in a professional environment. And, an agent came calling and said, look, there's a team who is going to win the league and they're going to play Champions League qualifiers. Are you interested? And, of course, as soon as you hear that, you tell me more.
Where do I sign?
Exactly. So, it got to the point where it advanced to contract negotiations, and everything was agreed upon. I got on a plane. I landed in Armenia, and as things happen in certain leagues around the world, it doesn't always turn out to be exactly as as was spoken about. And this was different, and that was different, and you were dealing with this person instead of that person, and it got to the point where, I had signed, it probably dawned on me that it wasn't really a place for me to be at that point. So I think the ITC went across, so everywhere it sort of says that I was an Irish FC player, which technically I guess I was, but yeah, I never really turned out for an official match, and we sort of mutually terminated before the restart of the second round of the season, and I guess the story went from there.
Lately, you've been playing in Thailand at Khon Kaen. Can you give us a bit of an insight of what it was like playing over there in Thailand and what life was like for you there?
Oh, look, I loved it there, mate. I think most people that have been to Thailand will tell you that it's an awesome place, you know, great people. They love their football. I was lucky enough that, I ended up at a good club with good facilities, and they really, really looked after us. You know, you were treated like the ultimate professional. Everything was taken care of. You had no worries in the world. And the football was good, you know. And I think that when you see the Thai national team play, you sort of see the progress that they've made in so many years. And it's a very technical game, obviously, with the heat. It has to be. It's definitely a progressive league. And obviously, you know, I'm not going to lie, the financial side of it helps a lot. With, you know, the wages being so good, especially for foreigners, and the cost of living being so low, that, you know, it's rather difficult not to enjoy your time over there. It's a little bit, it can be a little bit up and down if you end up at the wrong club. Obviously, not everyone's situation or story is going to be the same. And you do have a few things that you probably wouldn't enjoy playing in, like sometimes the heat's a bit too much, sometimes you play teams that, you know, obviously don't have the same sort of financial backing, and the pitch looks like a car park. You know, the referees sometimes, mate, they're so biased I hope I don't get in trouble for saying it, corrupt, that, you know, you sort of watch and you laugh about it, mate. Yep. It's just like, look, dude, I know you're trying to get this team, you know, favours or points, but you can at least try and make it less obvious.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other obstacles that you have to sort of deal with, but look, man, I loved it over there, and I would go back in a heartbeat if it was the right situation and the right club, of course.
So what's next for Richie Cardozo?
I'm not sure, to be honest, not at the moment. Anyway, there's a few things that are floating about that just trying to make the right decision, and at the moment, just probably. Trying to stay fit and enjoy time with family and friends, because that's, I guess, one thing that you don't get a lot of when you have to play overseas for the most part of your career. You sort of miss out on that, you know, time and events and stuff like that with family and friends. So, you know, now that I am back for a little bit, that's basically what I'm trying to enjoy at the moment and really catch up on.
Richie, thanks so much for joining us here on the Aussies Abroad program. Really appreciate your honesty and your candor, and best of luck for whatever comes up next for you. I'm sure you'll be banging in the goals no matter where you go.
Likewise, mate. Thank you so much for having me.
Richie Cardozo there. He's been playing overseas. He's been playing in Australia, scores goals wherever he goes. We're going to take a break here on Aussies Abroad. Plenty more coming up right after the break.
Here comes Harry Kewell. Yes! At last, a lifeline for Liverpool.
He's broken to Viduka. Can he punish them? He can. Leads are back in it.
Oh, and Johnston's through. This time he surely is going to make it. 3-0.
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. Aussies Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Aussies Abroad program here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Great interview before the break with Richie Cardozo. He's had a very interesting career, no doubt about it. And the next man we're going to talk to has also had a very interesting career. He's played with Kavala FC in Greece, Paya 2014 FC in Cyprus, Logan United, Gold Coast United in the old A-League, and now Sunshine Coast Fire in the Queensland NPL. I'm talking about Blake Callis. Blake, welcome to the program.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Mate, you've represented Australia in youth teams. You've played overseas in Greece and Cyprus. You've played at home in the A-League with Gold Coast United. I know your career's not over just yet, but as you look back on your achievements, does it fill you with a sense of pride?
Oh, of course. I think anything you achieve in football, you have some pride. And I'm I'm continuing it and seeing where it's going to take me for the rest of my career.
Now, we've had plenty of players on this show who talk about their time in Greece as quite turbulent, I guess, with coaches sacked and wages unpaid and moving from club to club year after year. Can you give us a bit of an insight into what your experience was like with Kavala FC in Greece?
Yeah, so I headed over to Kavala as a 19-year-old. It was my first trip outside of Australia. Landed in the club that was, or had just been promoted to the first division.
Yep.
And that's where, I guess, everything began, and I found out a lot about Greek football. It really is how, you know, you've heard of the corruption and scandals and things like that. It really is like that. And it really comes down to the president at the time who owns the club. Everything's in his hands. If you get paid on time, if you're looked after well. So, yeah, it really just comes down to that.
And what about you? Were you looked after well? Were you paid on time? Were you involved in any unscrupulous behaviour from the president?
I was quite lucky in Kavala. They gave me a nice accommodation, and the people who ran the hotel where I lived really looked after me really well. So, you know, I did hear stories from other players that, you know, hadn't been paid for 3 months at a time, and their accommodation wasn't quite as nice as mine, but hey, I was lucky, and yeah, each to their own, I guess.
Did you have any of those players come and sleep on your couch?
I did have a few ask me to. I did feel sorry for them when I saw where they were living.
Yeah. But you know.
But yeah, in my end, I was happy.
You're okay. Now, you've also played in Cyprus with Paia. 2014 FC. Now, when I think of playing football on an island in the middle of the Mediterranean, I'm thinking sun, sand, beach, pretty easygoing, relaxed lifestyle. Is that the kind of life you led there as a professional footballer?
Yeah, it really was, to be honest. Outside of being on the park, it's a great life. You know, the winters there aren't really winter. So, you know, in the middle of winter, you could be down, you know, out and about, and you're not wearing 10 jackets as you are in most other parts of Europe.
Yeah.
In saying that, on the pitch, they're very passionate. They definitely don't like to lose. You know, we've had rocks thrown at us from away supporters.
Wow.
And there's always a lot of pressure on a club like Paia, because they were once cup winners of Cyprus. So they are definitely a big club in the third division with high hopes of heading back to where they once were.
What about those fans? I mean, what was your relationship like with the fans in Cyprus, given their passion and their support of their teams and the throwing of rocks at opposition teams?
Well, the rocks bit was kind of new to me.
That doesn't happen on the sunny coast?
No, definitely not. when it came to our home supporters, though, they were great. I could probably call myself a fan favourite because the area of Paia is very populated by English.
Yep.
So, obviously, being an Aussie, you know, they love to have a chat to me in English.
Yep.
So I was lucky in that sense. When it came to away games and they found out that I was from Australia, they gave me quite a hard time, you know, obviously calling me a kangaroo and whatnot.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, well, that's the G-rated version.
Right, I see. Now, Blake, your nickname's Hulk. If anyone has seen images of you, you're certainly a big boy, muscular, like to hit the gym, no doubt. Have you ever felt like your size is either a positive or a negative to your game?
I definitely use it as a positive. Most clubs these days play with a number nine.
Yep.
And that's exactly what I have built my physique around. You know, at the moment I'm sitting at 91 kilos at 4.8 body fat percentage.
Yeah.
My explosive speed's fantastic. And, you know, holding the ball up front, like, there's no defender that's, you know, going to push me off the ball or anything like that. So when I was in Cyprus, the president of the team at the time pretty much looked at me and saw me on the pitch, and that was it. I signed the contract, end of that session. It was exactly what, you know, he was looking for, and I think what Australian football has missed since Mark Paduka.
Yeah.
So I've definitely used that to my advantage.
Have you ever had a coach ask you to trim down?
No, not recently. Like I said, most clubs are looking for a number nine.
Yep. Big, strong, hold the ball up tight.
Yeah, that's right. And my fitness is great. My speed is great. So I haven't had any issues with coaches asking me to do that.
Now, you're back at the Sunshine Coast Fire this year in the Queensland NPL competition. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're back for your second stint at the club. What is it about the club that you like so much and the area that you love so much?
Well, look, Sunny Coast is a, you know, it's a great, great town. I originally actually signed for the club before heading to Cyprus. And as soon as I did get that opportunity in Cyprus, I left. And I've returned back to Australia now, and it was my decision to release myself from my contract in Taya. And with the NPL season that's just started, I decided to return to Sunny Coast because I felt that I had some unfinished business. And we had the same technical director as when I originally signed, so he was happy to get me back on the coast.
How do you think you'll go this year as a team and you personally? I know that last time you signed for the Sunshine Coast, you made some big claims about being the league's leading goal scorer before a ball had even been kicked. Have you got the same goals and aspirations this time around?
I sure do. I've only just received my international transfer certificate from Cyprus, but I can tell you in pre-season, my first game for the club, I scored from 35 yards. So, yeah, I can definitely say that I have the same aspirations this season.
Nice. Now, do you have any ambitions for going overseas again?
Yeah, most definitely. I've got a Greek passport, so come summertime in Europe, if nothing comes any higher from the season in the NPL, I'll definitely be looking again to head back over to Europe.
Anywhere in particular? Have you got the feelers out there already? Have you got some interest?
I have had some interest. It was from Asia when I originally came back home. I speak to a lot of Greek clubs all the time, and having a Greek passport, I'm pretty much seen as a local player. So there's a lot of opportunity for me to head back to Greece.
Now, outside of football, from my research into you, it looks like you've got a number of other interests in life. You've got your bodybuilding, you've done a bit of modelling, you've also got your own clothing label. Do you love and need a lot of variety in your life?
I guess you can say I like to keep busy. Well, playing professional football, you know, you do a couple hours of training a day and...
got some downtime.
I like to stay and look fit. So,
yep.
I'm in the gym a couple hours. And other than that, I'm really passionate about clothing and fashion. So I am the founder of a gymwear company called Adonis Gear. So, you know, I spend my free time doing that.
Now, I also, when I was scrolling through your Instagram feed, saw that a lot of your posts were quite philosophical, I guess. A lot of quotes from you that are philosophical in nature. Are you a spiritual kind of person? Do you get deep inside of who you are?
Yes and no. Jesus, that's a hard question.
It's philosophical. I am. I like it. I'm a philosophical kind of person, so I liked scrolling through your feed and seeing those kind of quotes, and it just got me thinking whether that was the, you know, whether you're a deeper philosophical, you know, deep thinking kind of a person.
I guess I am. Yep. I probably overthink things, but you know, life throws you a lot of ups and downs, and that relates to being on and off the football pitch. So, yeah, I guess you could say I am. Always look for the positives in life. And yeah, hopefully it spreads to others.
Hey, mate, last one before I let you go. Once you've gone back to Greece and you've played for 8 different clubs in 8 seasons, because that's kind of the way it works over there, what happens with life after football for you? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
Well, I guess that's where my clothing company takes charge.
Yep.
At the moment, I'm really just doing a design aspect, so I can't be overseas and traveling, concentrating on football. And when that time does come that I've retired, I'll be definitely spending all my time in the clothing company.
Well, Blake, thank you very much for joining me on the Aussies Abroad program here on Football Nation Radio. Fascinating career you've had so far, both overseas and here in Australia, plus fascinating individual just with your outside interests. Really thankful that you've given us your time here on the show, and we'll follow your career with interest.
Great. Thanks heaps for having me.
Blake Callis there, former Kavala FC player, 2014 FC Logan United, Gold Coast United, and current Sunshine Coast Fire striker. We're going to take a break here on the Aussies Abroad program. Coming up, we're going to wrap up the program.
Here comes Harry Kuehl, yes! At last, a lifeline for Liverpool!
He's broken to Viduka. Can he punish them? He can! Leads it back in it.
Oh, and Johnston's through. This time, he surely is going to make it. 3-0.
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. Aussies Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Aussies Abroad program here on FNR Football Nation Radio. That is the show for this week. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter at FNR_radio. You can also follow me at Chris Appleford. You can also follow our Aussies Abroad expert, Damien Davies, at Damien, that's D-A-M-I-A-N, Damien Davies 72. So stay up to speed with all of the action from our Aussies overseas. Thank you very much to Richie Cardozo and Blake Callis, our special guests on tonight's program. Don't forget, join us next week on the Aussies Abroad program every Tuesday night from 8 until 9 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Until then, bye for now.
Here comes Harry Kuehl, yes! At last, a lifeline for Liverpool!
He's broken to Viduka. Can he punish them? He can! Leads it back in it.
Oh, and Johnston's through. This time he surely is going to make it. 3-0!
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. Aussies Abroad with Chris Appleford on FNR Football Nation Radio.